The reading is written in John chapter 14, beginning at verse 1, and is to be found on page 1082 in the Church Bible. John chapter 14, verse 1. Jesus comforts his disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. This is the word of the Lord.
Let me just pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to come to your word. I thank you for this chance to listen to it. I just pray that you will speak to us through your word by your spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I hope you enjoyed the little hotel illustration. I'm still hoping that one day I turn up to a hotel and someone has made the reservation for me and paid the bill. Perhaps they would have even paid for me to take the smallest bottle of Coke out of the minibar. How exciting would that be? In fact, it would be great if I turned up at the Ritz and discovered that the Queen had made a reservation for me. In fact, the only way I'd ever be able to stay at the Ritz is if someone else made the reservation. I certainly don't have the finances to buy a room. It would certainly take me a long time to save up anyway. I'm not famous enough. My reputation would not earn me a room. My dress sense probably wouldn't get me in. This is about as smart as it gets. No, the only way in is if someone else had reserved me a room. Someone who was famous enough, or powerful enough, or rich enough, that the receptionist and staff could not turn me away. Perhaps someone like the Queen. But yet our passage is not concerned with a swanky hotel, but it does speak about rooms. But a room in the Father's house. God the Father, a room in his house. How is that possible? How can I be sure that I will get to this room? What if I have questions? Well, I think our passage will help deal with those kind of three questions. And answer all three is because of Jesus. Now, I'm going to explain a bit more what that means, as everyone knows that the Sunday school answer to all questions is Jesus. But I'm going to look a bit closer about what that means. And I'll be dealing with three points today. Jesus reserves our place. Jesus makes a way that we will make it there. And finally, Jesus provides a way to pray to the Father. But first, let's just set our passage in the context of John. Jesus is leaving. Just before our passage in chapter 13, verse 33, Jesus says, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer." Jesus is leaving them. But not only that, the disciples have just had their last meal with him. They have seen Judas leave into the night, verse 30. There is betrayal. And just before this passage, Peter has been told by Jesus that he will deny Jesus three times in verse 38. This is a difficult time for the disciples ultimately because Jesus is leaving. He's going. Their leader, teacher, God's son, is leaving. The disciples would have been in shock. And so it's unsurprising that Jesus starts our passage with an encouraging word in verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Jesus, knowing what people feel in their hearts, is aware of the current predicament that the disciples found themselves in. He knows it was going to cause trouble for them. But what Jesus encouraged them with? Well, it begins in verse 2, the first encouragement. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? See, here Jesus leaving the disciples is not a bad thing. Jesus in verse 1 calls them to believe in him. Jesus has to go. Otherwise, how can he prepare the rooms for his disciples and believers? The rooms here is a reference in heaven to heaven. And Jesus is saying that it is important that he leaves. If Jesus does not go, we would be unable to be with our Heavenly Father now or after we die. And this is important and a great blessing. Jesus going means that we have a place prepared for us by him, with him and the Father. The troubled hearts of the disciples can be encouraged that because Jesus is going away, he is preparing a place for them with the Father. This is a reservation, but unlike any other reservation, it is a reservation that is secure. A reservation made by Jesus. A reservation secured on the cross. When Jesus died, in John chapter 19, verse 30, he said, "It is finished." If you believe and trust in Jesus, we have a place, a room prepared. In verse 2, Jesus says, "My Father's house has many rooms." This is a generous God who has rooms prepared for us. I think this is something to cling to in the everyday struggles of life, where jobs may come and go, where one day we're healthy and another day we are not. That actually, when I die, I know this. There is a room prepared for me as a believer in Jesus, which has been prepared. I think when some of the Pathfinders came back from sorting out, they had this helpful piece of information. Christianity can be explained in four letters. D-O-N-E. Done. It has been done. Jesus has done it. It's not about me, but Jesus. He has prepared the rooms. They are prepared. They are waiting for us. I do not need to hope for a room when I die, as I might hope to find £20 down the back of the sofa or a reservation at the Ritz. I can know that there is a room prepared for me with certainty. A reservation, unlike any other, that won't get lost on the computer, that won't be cancelled, that is certain because it was made by Jesus on the cross. This is all good, but in the next part of our passage, verses 5 and 6, Thomas asks quite an understandable question. The room sounds great, but if we don't know where it is, how are we going to know the way? Well, okay, so that seems quite sensible, doesn't it? If someone came to you and said, "I've booked you into a luxury hotel, but didn't tell you where it is," you might say, "Why did you make the booking? I'm never going to get it." But Jesus responds with a dramatic claim in verse 6, a claim which might be well known. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." It is worth pointing out that the emphasis of this statement falls on the way, as this is the question that Thomas asked. Who is Jesus the way to? He is the way to the Father. It's worth pointing out, this is hugely significant. This is the way that was blocked by sin since the fall. A way that was broken, a path that no one could travel. A barrier that thousands of sacrifices at the temple couldn't break. God was someone that only the high priest could get anywhere near in the Holy of Holies once a year. Yet Jesus, by leaving, dying on the cross and rising again, broke that barrier. The only one that could. He presents the only way to know the Father. The barrier of sin and death would be broken, and the way would be made clear. The disciples whose hearts were troubled at the thought of Jesus leaving could know that he was about to accomplish the most significant thing in history, who by leaving would make a way to be right with the Father, a way to know the Father, a way to be saved, and to be in one of the many rooms that are going to be prepared. What a comfort to a troubled heart to know that Jesus is the way to the Father. So this all sounds well and good. Okay, so if I follow Jesus, the room is prepared for me. But how can I be certain? How can I be sure? How can I not have that problem? How can I not sit there just hoping, like to find the £20 note, that it will be there? In fact, Philip had the same problem in verse 8. He asked the question that we may have thought or heard before. Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough. Have you ever heard that? Perhaps from a non-Christian friend. Look, if God is real, he should just show himself to me, right? He should just do something that makes himself known. Philip is asking a similar thing. Okay, Jesus, this is great what you're saying, but just show us the Father and that will be okay. Then I will be certain. Then I will continue to follow. Perhaps we, in times of troubled hearts, cry out to God, if only you would do a miraculous sign, if only you would change this, or show yourself clearly, then I would be more confident. Yet we can be confident, because Jesus is the way to know the Father. Verse 9 and 10, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. So how can we know God the Father? Through Jesus. See, Jesus is the way to the Father, and he's also the way to know the Father. Why? Because he is one with the Father. They are together, and so we can know about the Father through Jesus. For example, how do we know that God the Father cares for us? Because here Jesus is caring for his followers. We know that from verse 1, as I said, that Jesus knew his disciples' hearts were troubled. Yet Jesus is willing to comfort them so that their hearts will no longer be troubled. Yet, I'm sure I can hear you say, we are not Philip. We don't have Jesus in front of us. We haven't seen him. We haven't been around him. So what do we do? What do we have? Well, we have his word written down. In verse 11, Jesus says, believe me when I say that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. The evidence we have written down. John, very helpfully at the end of his gospel, well, maybe not helpful at the end, it might have been more helpful at the beginning, but actually gives a reason why he writes his gospel in chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. There we can be sure, because it is written in the Bible. If we are unsure or struggling, then we can take some time to remind ourselves of what we know, what I stand on. We can remind ourselves about who Jesus is, the Son of God, about what he has done, making a way to the Father. We can know for certain, without concern. How? Because it helps put things in perspective. The biggest problem we all face is death. And the Bible brings life with God the Father now and after death. The Bible reminds us how big God is. How much bigger than all the problems in the world are. God is the one who can deal with the one thing we cannot. The one thing we must all face, death. Yet through Jesus, we have life. Life. Forever with him. But we may struggle to find this comforting. This is something we know. Jesus is the way. We know this. Perhaps it is something we have heard regularly. The cross is why I'm here, but how will that help me now? Well, I think this passage is a great comfort because it is something we can know. And you may think knowledge isn't very comforting. I haven't ever found gravity, knowing about gravity, comforting in any situation. But I am going to give an example to try and show how maybe knowing things can be comforting. So at university, I played a lot of table tennis, which if you know me well is actually quite unsurprising. And one week we had to play Nottingham Trent. Now, you may think, why would I need to be comforted for this, apart from the fact it's quite a long way from Norwich? Well, it's because on their team they have the 7th best man in England. Now, this is bad. I'm okay at table tennis, but no way near good enough to beat the 7th best man in England. If you want to know what happened, I lost 18 points in a row, which is very bad. So, what do I need to be comforted about this? Well, I could try chocolate. But that doesn't change what I know about tomorrow. That tomorrow I have to play this guy. It might even lower my performance levels. I could try lots of TV as well. Maybe if I watch lots of people on playing table tennis, I will get better at table tennis. I tried this with football and it didn't work. So TV probably won't work either. What would be comforting? Well, it is if the number one man in England came to my door and told me that he would play for me. Phew, I can relax. I know something. I know that I no longer have to play tomorrow. See how that would be a much greater comfort? See how knowing that someone has said, I'm going to be there and I'm going to play instead of you, someone that's better than me, someone that would likely win, is helpful. See, all chocolate and TV are distractions. Trying to help me forget what I must face the next day. Trying to stop me thinking about what I know is coming. Yet that doesn't deal with the problem. That doesn't make it go away. I need a solution, not distractions. So knowledge here is comforting. And knowing what Jesus has done, why he left, is one of the great reasons why our hearts do not need to be troubled. See, although chocolate and TV are okay in moderation, I guess, it doesn't deal with sin. It doesn't deal with the separation we have from the Father. In fact, the only person that can is Jesus. When I don't know the way, I don't need chocolate or TV. I need someone that does know the way. I need to know Jesus and all that he has done for me. Jesus is the way, and this is what we should cling to. To him. He is the person that deals with this one thing we can't. He is the way that leads to the Father and the rooms that he has prepared. And this is comforting. Why? Because it's something we can know and hold on to. It's a promise. See, when life presents its challenges, perhaps financially or emotionally, or with relationship breakdowns, we can still be comforted by something we know, something that doesn't change, something that isn't a distraction but a promise. That if we believe in Jesus, we have a room prepared, a way of knowing God the Father, a way of dealing with the barrier of sin, dealing with the problem of death and separation from God. That means we can live forever, eternally, with God, in a room that is prepared for us. I'm just going to now deal with the final section of this passage, and this may raise some questions, and I think it's important that I address these. First of all, we have in verse 12, it talks about this idea of greater works. And then in verse 14, we have, what can we ask for in Jesus' name that will be given? What does this mean? How does this impact what we just talked about? Once again, I think the emphasis is on what will happen when Jesus leaves, as it is in the section of John where he talks about this. And it's also an encouragement to disciples. So when we look at this, what are those kind of things that we can look at and help to understand this passage? So I think the greater works hints at the coming of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus talks about in the next section. The Holy Spirit can only come when Jesus leaves, and that will enable the wider spread of the message that Jesus first proclaimed. See, we don't just have a room. The barrier is broken. We don't just get to know the Father. We also get to be a part of Jesus' mission. To be people that get to tell us about Jesus. To be people that get to be used by God. And this is only possible if he leaves. It's only possible if the Holy Spirit came. And this is a wonderful encouragement. The helper that will come and guide us. That will come and help us to be certain. That will come and secure our place. Help us make it to the room. And the final section refers to prayer. Again, prayer is something that's only been made possible by Jesus removing the barrier of sin. We're fortunate that we've always had this access to God the Father. We can also always pray to him. But that wasn't always the case. As I said, At one point, it was only the temple, only one man in the Holy of Holies, once a year, got anywhere near God, any chance to have an opportunity to talk to him. But we can pray to the Father in Jesus' name to bring glory to the Father. I think it is important to say that this doesn't mean if I ask for a Ferrari in the name of Jesus, it will suddenly appear. It isn't talking about that. I think it's to do with aligning our prayers with that of God the Father, to know that we have an opportunity to pray to him. And it does mean our prayers are heard and will be answered. Not always in the way we expect. I probably am not going to get the Ferrari. But that's because Jesus here is promising something much greater than a Ferrari. He's promising a room, eternity with him. A room that after we die we get to spend with him. See, that's much better than the Ferrari. That's much better than nearly everything else I could ask for. And actually, Jesus has given us, by his power, to be used for greater works. And by his power, we have a way to be heard by God the Father. This is a wonderful gift. So as I come to finish, this is a lot to take in. John's Gospel is quite dense and there's lots going on. But I'm just going to try and mention, again, some of those key things. Remind them. Perhaps something you can take away. Jesus prepares a room for us with the Father. The power of sin and death is defeated. We can be with the Father now and when we die if we believe and trust in Jesus. This is something we can be certain of. We can know and hold on to it through whatever comes our way. Don't let go. And know that it's a promise that he has made, that he will sustain us by the power of his Spirit. Second, we have his word to know this is true. John wrote his gospel for this reason, that we may have life, that we may know Jesus and have life. The Bible brings life. It reminds us of what we know to be true. I said, finally, we have the power because of Jesus, not because of anything I've done, but because of Jesus. Because of what he has done, we can be part of the wonderful works of the Father to see others come to know his truth and to become believers. And also we can pray to the living God, creator of all, and know he is listening. And will answer our prayers for his glory. So let's not look to distractions when we face challenges in life. The world wants us to forget the hard times that lie ahead. Forget that one day we all have to die. Live now, forget, distract. I always found it funny at university that some people said the best nights of their lives were the ones they couldn't remember. Seems a bit strange. But let us find our security in Jesus, in knowing what he has done, knowing there is a room prepared for us, knowing that the way has been made, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it is a wonderful thing to know the promise of your Son, Jesus. To know that you are listening right now. To know that you have prepared a room for all who believe and trust in Jesus. Please, Lord, help us to stay firm in that knowledge. That whatever challenges we face, we will remember what you have done and find confidence and comfort in that. In Jesus' name, amen.